Okay, it's supposed to be back together, to learn together, to grow together, to gain chizik Erev Shabbos Kodesh, and to hopefully pull all the chizik and the soros of Yontif into the entire year. And it already feels, perhaps, to many of us, like Shavuos was a very, very long time ago. But really, up to a few days ago, we were still connected to Shavuos even in our days. The week after Shavuos are the Tashlumim of Shavuos. And in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, you were allowed to, if you didn't bring on Shavuos the Karban for Shavuos, you could bring them for 7 days, for a week after Shavuos. So those days are still very interconnected and connected to Shavuos. We don't say Tachlin during those days. But even that is over. Even that, we're past. You know, we don't have Yontif for a very long time. The next time we have Yontif is Rosh Hashanah. It's a long time away. And as Yidden, we live with Yontif. Of course we live with Shabbos. Shabbos is very special. I'm looking forward to Shabbos. It's Erev Shabbos. But each Yontif has its own kolchos. Each Yontif has its own beauty. And we just finished Shavuos. But I strongly believe Shavuos, more than any other Yontif, we have to carry with us. And why do I say more than any other Yontif? Shavuos is the one Yontif where, first of all, there's no date. We've spoken about this before. There's a lot to learn from that. But there's no date in the Torah. It's not on a specific date. It's based on Sefirot HaOmer. But it doesn't tell us in the Torah, it's Vav Sivan Shavuos. It's the 50th day of Sefirot HaOmer. By not having a date, the Torah is telling us something. There can't just be one day of Shavuos. It's not just for one date. Additionally, there's no Mitzvos Hayom of Shavuos. Every Yontif has its beautiful mitzvahs that we connect to. Right? We have on Sukkot, so we sit in a sukkah and we take lulav and esrog, and on shofar, on Rosh Hashanah we blow a shofar. On Pesach we had matzah, we didn't eat chametz. Every Yontif, Chanukah, Purim, they all have the mitzvahs hayom, the special mitzvahs that are just for that time of the year. What were the mitzvahs hayom of Shavuos? There was none. I mean, they're minhagim, they're customs. Beautiful customs of eating chol, of eating dairy, and staying up all night learning. Those are not mitzvahs. There are no special mitzvahs for Shavuos. In Eretz Yisrael, where Shavuos is one day, mamish feels like a Shabbos to some. If you don't stay up learning, I mean, and if you happen not to have a minhag and don't have dairy meals, how is Shavuos any different than a Shabbos? Really? Maybe you have some extra flowers in the house. It's not so different. And maybe that's teaching us something. There's no mitzvahs hayom, because when there is a mitzvahs hayom, it's just for that time period. By having no mitzvahs hayom, meaning this is for the whole year. And that's an important lesson. There was a tzaddik of Yaakov Galinsky. And one time, he was sitting at his Shabbos table, and many guests, and the lights went out. It was dark. He still had the neros, the candles of his wife were flickering, and therefore there was some light in the room, but it was pretty dark. But because of that, and that's an important halachic point, there was some light in the room. Because people, now's not the time. Maybe another time we should. I always wish, you know, with the Nashim Tzikarios, we Baruch Hashem have these beautiful shiurim of chizuk and esoris and machshava. I wish there was time to also have halacha shiurim, because I think it's very, very important, right? One of the areas of halacha that I think we all need to, maybe you're hopefully holding it, but a lot of people I know maybe need some direction, is amir la'akum. Knowing when exactly, right? People think that, oh, you could hint, as long as you hint, you could hint to a non-Jew to do anything on Shabbos. You could hint to a non-Jew to do anything on Shabbos. It's not how it works. There's certain times when you could literally just tell a non-Jew to do something if you're on Shabbos. For a chayla, perhaps. There are certain times when you're not even allowed to hint. And there are certain times when you're allowed to hint. You have to learn through the halachos when you are and when you're not. So one of the times you're allowed to hint to a non-Jew would be when there's already some, whatever you're looking for. So for example, let's say to turn on the lights. And the room is already somewhat lit, but you want additional light. So you already could eat, you could see a little bit. But you want additional light. That's when you could hint to a Jew. Merame is to a non-Jew. The reason you have to be merame is, you can't just say it straight out, is because some bring down that Amir Lakum would be a problem of Shlichus.
Shluch Chol Shalom Kamosa, when you send a messenger to do something, it's as if you did it. So if you say it straight out, it's as if you did that act. So you can't say it straight out, but once you hint, you didn't actually tell them to do it. They're doing it somewhat on their own. Although there are other issues, I'm not going to get into all of Amir Lakum right now, why only when there's a Hosafa of Hanan, not just... But if the room was completely dark, if it was completely dark, you can't even hint to it. A non-Jew to turn the light. Unless maybe it's a mitzvah derabim, it's for many, many people for a mitzvah purpose. Again, a lot of halacha. So with this, getting back to the story, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky is sitting there and eating and the lights go out and he still has some light. But it wasn't Bishmak, you know, he wanted to... I mean, personally, I'll tell you the truth. I have a very close friend, a very big tzaddik in Yerushalayim, near Kodesh, in the old city, Rabbi Yoel Rakovsky. Yoel Rakovsky is a halakha yid, he's a Rebbe in Yeshiva in Tivarye. When I go to Eretz Yisrael, my Lel Shabbos Suda is only by Rav Yoel. Even when I go, but when I'm supposed to take my whole family, we all go to Rav Yoel. It's the most beautiful Sudas in the world. It's this beautiful dira in the old city with, you know, with the dome ceilings. And you imagine, like, mamish, the Zmiros and the Torah. It's the way Shabbos is supposed to be. In the most beautiful ways. One of the minhagim he has is that maybe a good half hour into the Suda, all the lights go out. So he has a little light. His dining room goes into his kitchen. It's open. In the kitchen, he has a little light. So it's just chayav to see in the kitchen. You know, there's one light. So there's a little light. And then there are many neros that are lit. So it's your mamet, but you're sitting by candlelight. And it's so beautiful. It's mamet in the old city. And you shalim your kodesh, losha. What I would do for that. I haven't had that in the last time I was by Rav Yoel was last January. It's been so long. I wish if I could get on a plane right now, I'd stop this year this minute. And that says a lot, because I wouldn't stop for Torah too often, you know. But I'm telling you, I would. If someone came in right now, you could get on a plane and get there Torah all the time. I'd apologize with all due respect. We'll make it up to you, I promise, but I'm out. To go to Rav Yoel, to show up to Rav Yoel. I remember the first time I went to Rav Yoel, and when I got to know him, it goes back many, many years ago, and it's got to be a good at it. 13 years ago, whatever it is. And it was so beautiful. So I came home I was there by myself visiting my talmidim that week. I was without my family. And I come back the next Friday night. I don't tell my family. And I set the Shabbos clock that the light should go off. Now, like a half hour into the Suda. And we should also. It should be beautiful. And I get it from my family. Mom, they like, they're eating in dark. They can't see. They're complaining. My kids are picking up their plates. We're going in the kitchen to eat. I mean, it happened to me. My dining room wasn't connected to the kitchen, so he had like no light coming in. And Kenai and Harav Yolol has more children than I have, so we have a few Neros. He had a lot of Neros. The combination, it was pretty dark. And never again. Never again. Okay. And it was Rav Yaakov Galinsky. So he's by his Shabbos Suda, and the lights go out, and he wanted more light, so he finds a non-Jew to come in. And like we said, in that situation, you could hint. So somebody says to this non-Jew that they were looking for a ring. They couldn't find the ring, whatever it was. Figuring, the guy will catch on and turn on the light to look for the ring. They're all looking. So what does he do? He gets down and starts helping them look in the dark. So then one of them says, oh, you know, there's a cold beer in the fridge for you, if you'd like. And it was very dark. So what does he do? Oh, he turns on the light. He turns on the light. He goes into the fridge. He takes the beer. He comes right out, turns off the light. That's it. No time to find anything. No time, if he would have given them, and they're sitting in the dark again for their Suda, and he leaves. He says, I'm sorry, I tried to help you. Can't find it. So it was no help. So Yaakov Galinsky said after, we see from this person, first of all, clearly this person, mamish, only cares deeply about himself. For himself, suddenly when it's for himself, he's turning on the light. When he's looking for someone else, he doesn't even think about it. But more than that, he says, oh, you see by the Umas HaOlam, they have light in the moment, but right after it's gone. Right after they need that light, it's over. They turn it out. We have to, when we have light, we have to keep it with us. When we have light and we're lit up, we have to keep it with us. That's what he said to the Olam there. What's beautiful? When we're uplifted by the light of Shabbos, the light of a Yontif, the light of a Shavuos that we had last week. It feels like so long ago. It was last week. We have to be on fire. We have to feel the light now. We can't turn off the light switch. And specifically by Shavuos, because Shavuos, as we said, there's no mitzvah sayom, and Shavuos has no date. And what is the mitzvah is? Torah. The mitzvah is what we're here together to learn, to grow. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is a connection to Torah.
to learn Torah, to connect to Torah, to be one with Torah, to live a life of Torah. And that's vada for all year. It's for sure for all year. But we know it's hard. It's easy in the moment. Shavuos, we were uplifted. Shavuos, we enjoy it. It's hard. So I want to share with you an idea. It's based on a Gemara, but it's a deep machshava, but it's mamish. I'm so excited to share this with you. I think it's one of the biggest yisodos of life. This machshava in Avodas Hashem, because let's be real. What we're talking about tonight, and this idea of trying to keep Shavuos with us, is really, when it comes to Avodas Hashem, of our biggest challenges. And I don't mean specifically Shavuos, but how often is it every one of us has moments when we're inspired, and whether that was a Shavuos, whether it's a Shabbos, whether it's a beautiful chasana, whatever it might be. And then it's hard to be consistent. It's hard to keep that with us. We have our ups and downs. Yes, we're Yala Bar Hashem, or Mi Yakum B'mkom Kacho. Who's able to be consistent and keep it with us? And we want that so badly. So here we're on a, we were talking about Shavuos, but we're talking about our whole lives as an Eved Hashem. So the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Peches. Wrong Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us something that I'm sure some of you are familiar with. Tosfos made this famous, but I'll read you from the Gemara. The Gemara says, Kol diber v'diber sheyatzo mepi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? The first Dibros, Anoichi Lohia, when we stood there, Shavuos, at our Sinai, we heard them from Hashem, v'chvodo v'atmo, and they're so powerful. When we heard Hashem, it was so powerful. Yotza nishmason shel Yisrael. Yotza nishmason shel Yisrael means that we literally, we fainted and passed away. Our neshamas went off to Shemayim. Yotza nishmason is a Gemara. We couldn't handle it. The spirituality, the moment of light was so strong. Yotza nishmason, we fainted. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? The Gemara continues. Quote the pasuk, by the first dibur, yatzin ishmasam, by the second dibur. So what did he do? Heich kiblu, horid tal, she'asud lachyos b'mesim, v'hichyosam. Kodesh Baruch Hu brought tal, dew, from Shemayim. Tal is the mechanism of chiyas ha'mesim, and brought us back to life. Now, he did that by the first two dibros, then he realized, okay, is enough, and he let Moshe teach us the rest of the Torah. Right, that's why we know Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Gemara Makos says this. Torah, what's the gematria of Torah? Anyone know the gematria of Torah? Torah 6:11. It's close, but it's only 6:11. You know why it's only 6:11? Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Torah 611 commandments Moshe taught us. Because the first two we heard from Hashem himself. So the Gemara tells us the Makos. Torah learns this gematria. It's not like some Hasidic, you know, new gematrias in the Gemara and then the Makos. Torah Tzivalot Moshe. First two were from Hashem and we fainted. It's a Gemara. And Hashem brought us back with Tal, with dew. But then, what's strange is the Gemara quotes a pasuk to teach us, to prove to us that He brought us back to life with dew. And the pasuk that is brought down is Geshem Nidvos. Talks about rain. The pasuk doesn't talk about dew. So why would the Gemara tell us Hashem brought us back with dew and then quote a pasuk by about rain? So tell us He brought us back to life with rain. Why did He say dew? The pasuk's talking about rain. So we have to understand, what's the difference between rain and dew? What's the difference between rain and dew? They're both moisture that falls on the ground, that is on the ground. So the Gemara in Tainus actually seems to tell us one difference. But I want to understand the deeper depth into it. The Gemara in Tainus tells us that we were seeking and searching for a relationship with Hashem like rain, like Geshem. In other words, Geshem represents a relationship with Hashem, which makes a lot of sense, right? What is rain? What is it symbolism of? It's symbolism of Nishikas Shemayim Aretz, the kissing of heaven and earth. Or when it rains, that's our connection to Hashem in a certain sense. That's why throughout the Torah, whenever we're doing what's right, what's the bracha? I'll give you rain.
Obviously, that's physical rain to allow the plants to grow and to be able to have sun. It's also a symbolism of our relationship with Hashem. So rain, again, is that physical allowing the fruits to grow, but it's also, think about it, when it rains, there's a connection between heaven and earth. It's a kissing of heaven and earth. So the Gemara says we wanted to have a relationship with Hashem like Geshem, and Hashem says back to us, you didn't ask for a good enough thing. That was the She'ela Shelo Kohogan. You could have asked for better. You know why you should have asked to have a relationship like dew? Why like dew? So Pashup Shat, the Gemara seems to say, is that rain is sometimes here and sometimes not here. This week, when it rained one time at most for a few minutes, dew is daily, dew is consistent. And therefore, Pashup Shat Hashem saying, you should have asked to have a relationship with me like dew, that it should be constant, be consistent, always, tmidius. Not a relationship which is sometimes there, sometimes not. Not like Geshem. And that's exactly what we're talking about here tonight. How do we have the relationship like Tal and not like Geshem? How do we have a relationship not just where it's on a Shavuos, on a Shabbos, but it's always, it's consistent, we keep it with us. And the inspiration we keep with us when we're elevated on a beautiful Yom Tov Shavuos and other times in our life. There's another difference that I want to point out, and maybe this is the key to answer a question in my Matan Torah. Of why Hashem seems to be, the Gemara says, woke us up with dew, but really was based on a pasuk of Geshem of rain. And based on this Gemara in Tainus, we see rain and dew are both a representation of our relationship with Hashem, an influence of Hashem, a connection to spirituality. But you know the difference between rain and dew? So I'll pick up all of it. There's two types of spiritual connections. Spiritual highs. There's something called Isrusa de Le'ela, and there's something called Isrusa de Tata. Isrusa de Le'ela is an influence from above. It's when something occurs that inspires us externally. So Shabbos, the feeling that Shabbos gives us, is Isrusa de Le'ela. Standing by the Kosel Ma'arav is Isrusa de Le'ela. I feel different there. And I just don't feel the same when I'm in my shul in the Five Towns or Queens or wherever it might be, or Teaneck. I feel different there. It's Ruso Delel. When I'm walking into a Yantav Matan Torah Shavuos night, I feel different. It's Ruso Delel. But then there's Ruso Tata. You know what Ruso Tata is? It's a connection to Hashem. It's a Ruchnias. It comes, Tata means from the down place. It comes from within us. It comes from my avodas Hashem. It comes from my effort. It comes from within me. Not externally, but internally. And I build that kasher, and I build that relationship through my ma'asim, through my learning, through my tefillos, through whatever it might be. That's Yisrus Zal'ela, Yisrus Zal'ata. Maybe we could suggest, listen closely, Mamash, a deep idea, but so beautiful. Geshem, rain. Where does rain come from? It comes from above. It comes from the clouds. It comes from Shemayim. And therefore, that is a representation of Isrusu del Eila. That's when Hashem shines upon us and we feel uplifted. That's Shabbos. That's Yontiv. That's Yushalayim or Akkadesh. That's the wonderful times in our life that help uplift us. Tal, dew. How does dew form? It's not a rain from above. Based on air pressure and different changes in the cold and the hot, but what it basically, I'm not going to be the one to explain it to you scientifically. I hardly understand it myself, but I've read up on it. You could go read up on it yourself. The bottom line is, the dew is moisture that's pulled out of the ground itself. It's pulled out of the plant. It's pulled out of the grass and brought to its surface. Therefore, the difference, Geshem is from Yisrusu D'Leila, comes from above. Yisrusu D'Ta, Tal, Du, comes from within. It's internal. And that's the ultimate avodah, that could be constant. When it's something from above, you're going to feel it one moment, not feel it the next. But when it's internal, it comes from within me. It's in my heart, it's in my neshama, and I'm in touch with that. I always got that. It doesn't matter if it's in the ilah of Yom Kippur at the Kaisel or it's a Tuesday afternoon mincha in Woodmere. I got it. And we have it within us. You know why? Because each and every one of us has a neshama within us. Each and every one of us has a chelik eloka mimal mamash. Each and every one of us has a part and parcel of Hashem, of God. You think I can't feel it always? I don't need a yontif. I don't need a shabbat. Of course that helps me. That sparks me. But I have it within me. I have it within me, and we have to know that, and we have to believe that. And that's when I find my consistency. When I build it from within. Yes, I get the inspiration from without, from extra, to pull it out. But ultimately, I'm in touch with it. And then I have it always. Maybe that's pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara is telling us, the pasuk says about geshem, about rain, because the initial spark to wake us back up by Har Sinai when we fainted was from above, was from Hashem. But Hashem was telling us, you want to always be up, you want to always be alive in your avodas Hashem, you want to have chiyus, it has to be like tal. So it says he woke us like tal because he used, and the pasuk gets him, he used rain to inspire our tal from within us. We had a shvuis, a beautiful yontov. That was the geshem, the spark from above. The goal should have been to initiate and to pull out the tal from within. And when I'm in touch with my tal, I'm in touch with my inner self, my neshama, through that inspiration, then it could be consistent, it could be always. We have to remember that and be one with it. Wake up every morning and we say, Moidani lefanecha melechai v'kayam, shechazar to be neshamasi, and think, Hashem, you gave me a neshama, you gave me a part of you, I have it within me, I can be close to you always. I am close to you always. I just have to be awake to it. I have to be aware of it. And that's how we walk out of Shavuos, and we are a few days from Shavuos, and I'll pull it into my whole summer. I'm going to be rocking like it's Shavuos. And one with Torah, because that's the yontif of Shavuos. My whole summer. Till I need that spark again, Rosh Hashanah time. I got it. I got it. It's within me. And I can believe it. And I don't need the outside constant Isrusu Del'el. You know, I got the biggest chizik. One of the biggest chizik. A very subtle, simple story I'm going to tell you from Matzei Shavuos. I made it for Talmidim, mainly older Talmidim, beautiful Bnei Torah. Some young married, some still single, whatever it might be. Nilas HaChag. Right, Shavuos was Monday, Tuesday. If you remember, it was a Tuesday afternoon. We had a davening at my house in Mincha. I made a beautiful, maybe 30 guys singing and Torah. And we went till, you know, it ended Shavuos a little bit late. It was beautiful. A few younger guys showed up as well. There was a boy there that was in high school. And he was there, and I saw him. I was watching. He was like singing and into it. It was really so beautiful. And he called me. He left a message late that night. He left me a voicemail very late that night. Matzei Shavuos, hours and hours later. And he says, Rebbe, I want you to know. First of all, it's so beautiful, Neil's Chag. He said, very beautiful. Okay. He says, and then tonight, I was out with friends. And they were drinking or whatever else was going on, you know. You know what high school teenagers are doing? Call it there is Tachas Hashem, Hashem Irachim. We're not gonna get into the details, whatever the details were. And he says, Rebbe, I just couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. I didn't do it. I stayed away. I didn't do anything. Now, did this guy, you know, I give him mazel tov because he didn't do the biggest errors in the world. Like, he didn't make a seem a shas here, you know? But for him, on his level, you know, just to watch him during the Yilschag, when you're in it, when it's a Tzutz Del singing and into it, Shkayach, who wouldn't be? But later, when you're out of it, and still have inspiration, and that has to come from within. That was Tal. And it was such beautiful nachas as a Rebbe. It was so awesome. And such emes. And that's each and every one of us needs it from within. Needs to be a Tal Diki and not just a Geshen Diki. And pull it into the Yeshuas. You know, Yontav is not meant to end. There's a beautiful Kedushas Levi, the Heilige Barditchever. The Barditchever has such an incredible Torah. You know, think back to the end of Yontav, last Tuesday night. And we all made Abdullah. But we made a very different Abdullah than we're going to make a Matzah Shabbos, right?
Usually on Matzah Shabbos, we make Abdullah on a Kais Shel Yayin. We have a candle and we have the sun. Matzah Yantun, think back. What did we have? Just a Kais Shel Yayin. No candle, no sun.
You know why, Chavra? You ever think about why? Now, the candle is pretty obvious if you start to think about it, right? Because what is the point in...
There's two reasons why we have a candle on Matzah Shabbos. One reason is because that's when fire was created. And as a Shabbat, to praise Hashem for fire, because it helped us cook and be warm. And other reason, thank Hashem, he wrote Mizmah Shir Yom HaShabbos, Toyim Leidus Hashem, when he was forgiven somewhat for the Chet Eitz Hadass, and when he had the fire.
So one is the fire, to thank Hashem, Matzah Shabbos, so that's only a Matzah Shabbos. Fire wasn't created on Tuesday night. Why should we have fire? Secondly,
it's to differentiate in Koydim L'chol, to show the difference, right?
So, of the biggest differentiations of using fire, the one of the 39, the only of the 39 malachas that's explicit in the Torah, as well as Zavaru, Eish, B'chol, Moshe, Seichem, all the rest are learned in Torah Shabbat Peh, from the Mishkan, right? We learned some Filcha Shabbos. The only one that's explicit is fire, so it's definitely a symbolic example. So we use that to show, it's no longer Shabbos, it's Chol. Yantav, we're allowed to use fire. Your mothers didn't all light Neros on Yantav? I hope they all did. We were allowed to cook on Yantav, we're allowed to use fire. Okay, Midrabanan, we're not allowed to ignite a fire. That's Midrabanan. Midrabanan, you'd even be allowed to ignite a fire. Midrabanan, for various reasons, you're not allowed to ignite the fire. But you could hire the fire, raise the fire, if you need to. In Shabbos, you're not allowed to do such a thing. If you need to for cooking. So you don't have candle on Matzah Yantav, because you used fire all, you're not differentiating, but you just used fire, right?
So no candle, good. What about Pesach? Why was there no Pesach?
Why was there no Pesach on Matzah Yantav? So to understand why there was no Pesach, we have to ask, why do we usually have Pesach? We're not going to put anyone here on the spot. It's only something that we do every single week. For the last 21 years of your life, 22 years of your life, whatever, 20 years of your life. Why do you have a salmon? It's beautiful, it's nice. You make a bird of salmon, it smells some nice spices. Why do you have a bird of salmon? So the Gemara tells us, I'm sure you've learned this, most of you, that on Shabbos we have a Neshama Yisera. We have this, what does that mean, Neshama Yisera? Many, because it doesn't mean like a secondary Neshama, it means a loftier neshama. We're more in touch with our neshama. We're lifted up spiritually. And we'll give a share on that another time. The neshama yisera is a very beautiful topic. And then we lose the neshama yisera, which is challenging. There's a little bit of mourning. The geshmak of the besamim, of reach is ruchnius. The Bnei Sastra says the only part of our senses that didn't sin the chedi to daf is reach. So it's spiritual. It represents spirituality. It's not physical. You make a bracha and you get anah from the reich, and it gives the neshama a little chizik when you lost your neshama yisera. That's the idea behind it. So some rishonim say there's no neshama yisera on yantiv, so we don't need bar mitzvah. But that's hard to swallow. Like, let's be real, we don't feel elevated and feel more in touch with our neshama on yantiv. I know I do. Yes, on Shabbos we do, but on yantiv we do as well. Sometimes even a little more in Yantav, because it's different and we connect in different, you know. And by the way, there is Rishonim say there is a Neshama Yisera on Yantav. So according to those Rishonim, which we probably all connect to a little bit more, why is there no Pesachim on Matzei Yantav like there is Matzei Shabbos? What's Pshat? What's Pshat? So comes the Kedushas Levi, the Halakha Bar Dichaver. Don't ever forget this Torah. This Torah is one that you can think about and share with your family every single Matzah Yantav. So it's such an incredible idea. He says, there's an, and you'll be familiar and be able to understand this more based on what we said before. This, he uses that same concept, that Kabbalistic concept, it's Rusu del El, Rusu del Tata. And he says, Shabbos and Yantav are both Kaddush, but very different types of Kedusha. Shabbos is a Srusa Del'Ela. It's completely from above. Why? Hashem created Shabbos by resting on the seventh day. And no matter what we do, when Shkia comes tomorrow, it's Shabbos. Yes, you're supposed to light candles, and yes, you're supposed to cook to prepare, but let's say you didn't, and it's sunset tomorrow. You know what happens? Shabbos Chodesh.
So it's all from above. It's all from Hashem. Yontiv is a little bit different. There's an aspect of the Yisroel Zatzah to it. How so? Who determines? Now, we have a set calendar. But in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, there wasn't a set calendar. So who determined when Yontiv was going to be? We, Bnei Yisroel. When two people saw a new moon, and they went to Beis Din, and they said it's going to be Rosh Chodesh, that determined the month, and when Yontiv is going to fall out. We decided when Shavuos is going to be, or real Shavuos based on when Pesach is going to be, because that's Sfiras Omer, but we decide when the Yom Tovim are going to fall, when Yom Kippur is going to be, based on that month's Kiddush HaKodesh, it's going to be a tenth of that month. It could have been one of 2 days. The famous Mishnah about this in Rosh Hashanah. So we determine the date. That's a little bit from us. Yisroel Zatzah, Tatal, what we spoke about, that's the Tal. So listen to this Kiddush lady, he says something so beautiful, which will pull this all together. He says, well, it's Yisroel Zatzah Eilu, when it comes from above, it's beautiful spark and inspiration and great, but when it's over, it's over. So the Neshama Yisera of Shabbos, which is Yisroel Zatzah Eilu, Shabbos ends, it's gone, we need the Besom to give us a little geshmak, a little chizuk. If Yontiv comes from us, it's from within. We have a Neshama Yisera of Yontiv, but it doesn't leave us. That could stay. So I don't need the bar mitzvah after, because I can keep it with me. That's what the Kiddush lady says. So beautiful. And we should all be zocha to keep the yontif with us, to pull out our towel, to pull it out from within. And I think that's something we read this week as well. Because in a certain sense, even though Parshas Naso was the first parsha after Shabbos, after Shavuos, but as we said before, there are days tashlumim. There are those days. The week after Shavuos would connect. So this is the first parasha after the Tashlumin of Shavuos. Parashas Balos. And there's a very strange Rashi. Very simple Rashi, but very strange Rashi. On that first word, Bahaloscha, Bahaloscha Taneros, which means to light the menorah, to light the Neros. Good, we get to feel a little bit of Hanukkah this week, you know. We need that light, especially, you know, these days with everything Klal Yisrael's been through. We need a light. We need the light of Hanukkah. That's a good light. Maybe we're going to feel it this Shabbos. Bring light into the world. We each have to have that through our Amunah, by the way. Each individually could have the light, bring light into this. It's been a dark world over the last few weeks. We're lighting it up. Going to see a lot of light. Mirtz Hashem. That's what we're worried about. What's the word baloisko? It means to ignite, to light. To light the menorah, right? That from the Lashon Oleh. To rise up. The flame should rise up, right? Aliyah. Baloisko. So Rashi there says, this is teaching us how the Kohen should light the candle. And the Lashon of Rashi, Ad sheshalhevet ola merla. The chaver is holding in zusha. He has a friend Shlomo Geisen. He has a song to those words. Ad sheshalhevet ola merla. What does that mean? Until the flame rises by itself. Ad sheshalhevet until the flame ola merla. Meaning you're supposed to light the candle until the flame rises by itself. Shkoyach Rashi, what did you just teach us? Isn't that the most simplistic definition of lighting a candle? Look, Torah's not teaching us how to light a candle. Torah's initiating the mitzvah of menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash. Now, seemingly people lit candles before this time, right? Candles, this wasn't that we were creating the first concept of candles in the world. So, it has to tell you that the Kohen has to light the candle until the flame rises up by itself and it's lit. Shreya, that's just what lighting a candle is. No, I thought that the Kohen has to stand there for 24 hours. Like me. Shreya, that's what it's to light a candle. Until the flame rises, until the candle takes the fire and rising up by itself. What is this teaching me? So perhaps we could explain tonight. The fire is the fire of Ruchnius. That fire is the fire of Torah. Haloki the Re'eshon of Hashem. The fire is the relation with Hashem that we're all searching for and wanting, that passion that we have at times, but we want it to be always. And in order to have that fire, what do we need to be lit? So we're lit from Shabbos, and we're lit from Shavuos, and we're lit from Yerushalayim, and we're lit from our Rabbeim, and our teachers, and our friends at times, and our and wonderful occasions. We get lit. But that lighting, that being lit, is not enough. It's Ad Sheshal Heves Olam Me'alel. Our avodah has to be till our flame is rising up Me'alel by itself from within, like the Tal. That's the avodah of every year. That's the avodah of every Jew. The avodah of every Jew is not to turn off that light ever, like that non-Jew that walked into the house of Rav Yaakov Kolinsky. And he turned on the light to get the beer and turned it off. To turn on and off the lights, that's easy. To turn on the light when I walk into Shavuos, and turn on the light when I walk into Shabbos and Yom Kippur, and then turn it off for the week, it's easy. Our avodah is keep the light on. Ad Sheshal Heves Olam Me'alel. To bring it from within, to have that to have that do. And what's the way? The way is, like we said already, the way is, I believe, very, very pashat. The way is just be in touch with our pinimius, our tal in us. To know that we have it, to believe in ourselves, to know that we are connected to Hashem. We just have to be in touch with it. To know that we have a part of Hashem within us. And think about that. Just to think about it. Be cognizant of it. To start being more conscious of our neshama, not just our guf. Be conscious of that. Be conscious of the kedusha from within. And then pull it outside. Bring it back. Bring our pnim to our panim. Bring our inside to our face. Be one in a real way. And keep the light of Torah, the light of Shavuos burning bright. Be'ez Hashem Baruch. Shul b'zaycha. You know, when Shavuos ends is always like, you feel the beginning of the summer. It is, mamish. It's nicer outside, Baruch Hashem. But the summer has its challenges. Usually during the year, there's a lot more structure. During the year, most of us are, whether in school, work, whatever we're doing, we have a lot more structure in our lives. During the year, often there's less challenges in the way that summer brings about, definitely, you know, when it comes to sneeze and it comes to just different activities, more challenges. And there are Yom Tovim. We have a break from Yom Tovim. Shavuos to Rosh Hashanah, the whole summer, no Yom Tovim. No days to help elevate us. No sparks from above. We have it within us. We have our neshama within us. We're going to be strong. We're going to be connected. We're going to have a beautiful summer of ruchnius, of kedusha, of growth, of simcha, of yeshua, refua, bez Hashem, es barach. Be shining bright. Shining bright for others, shining bright for ourselves, until we feel the ultimate geshem of bias Mashiach, gula shleima, b'shiach zakenu, b'mehera v'yamina.